The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday.
Friday.
Hell yeah, Friday.
It's which was a surprise to me.
As Ocho says, it's Brandon Walter Day for the Astros.
Bam.
Today is a Brandon Walter Day. Brandon Walter takes his 3.98 ERA to the mound. If someone had told me when Brandon Walter first got called up, I mean, that was back when we thought it might just be a spot start.
Yeah.
Someone had told me he'd have lasted a couple months and he's got a sub-4 ERA coming out of the All-Star break, I would have said, well, that's a win. That's a big win right there.
So many wins. Based on what you would have expected things to look like, the Astros pitching right now has been such a revelation, and it feels enough. I mean, we've seen hiccups here. We've seen hiccups from Hunter Brown and Fromber more so compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah.
But they sit on, currently they're what, fifth best ERA?
Something like that.
For overall ERA on the team, or on in the league.
In the league. So Brandon Walter tonight. I mean, this was an eye grabber on Twitter yesterday when Brian McTaggart tweets out the starters for this weekend series. Huge series with the Mariners. Cannot overstate how big this series is to keep the Mariners at bay right now. I mean, at least win one. 1-2, they're still 4 games back. So, but the three starters this weekend, Seth, Brandon Walter, Lance McCullers on Saturday, and then Framber Valdez on Sunday. No Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
And look, nobody's spoken on this yet. Like, you know, Joe Espada has not been put in front of a microphone yet. He will today before this Mariners game, I'm sure, do a scrum in the dugout or something like that, like he does before every game. I Googled Hunter Brown injury during the break in this segment just to make sure there's no breaking news, but I was a little taken aback that Hunter Brown was not, I mean, given who the opponent is, that Hunter Brown is not one of the three guys starting for the Astros in this series.
I'm a little peeved just in that there was, you know, discussion about whether or not Hunter Brown would get that final start before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted him to for a couple reasons. One, to maybe fix whatever was hurting him in his second to last start before the All-Star break, and then I also just kind of wanted him to take the All-Star game and break completely off.
Yeah.
But now with hindsight, I think I would have preferred to have had him since the Astros were on a skid anyway, headed into the All-Star break, I would have preferred that they take care of whatever might have been bothering him before that and then let him be fine now.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's nothing physical with Hunter. I hope this is just them looking at his velocity being down his last couple starts and saying, all right, well, you know what? If we can get him 7 or 8 days of rest, you know, the All-Star break is a chance to reset your rotation if you want to. That's my hope, is that, the best case scenario is they're just trying to get him more rest. I would rather have Hunter Brown pitching in this Seattle series than either Brandon Walter or Lance McCullers Jr. You know, Framber's the only one on this staff who you can reasonably make an argument that, you know, yeah, if I need a guy to go win a game, I mean, if I need a guy to go to win a game right now with the benefit of recency bias, it's Framber Valdez and then Hunter Brown. Framber hadn't lost a game since the middle of May. He started the season 1-4. He's 10-4 now, you know?
The one thing about the Mariners have a bunch of lefties too. So that's,
that's good.
That likely plays a part of it.
We like that.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's, I mean, you put, so.
Oh, your chances of winning.
Brandon Walter might make better, you know, makes more sense. When you're looking at lineups, over the next few days, you got a bunch of lefties on the Mariners. And so between giving a little bit of extra rest to Hunter Brown and then getting Brandon Walter out there versus them today,
that makes sense. That makes sense. So, big series coming up this weekend. No Hunter Brown. I am anxious to hear Joe Espada just answer the question as to why he made this decision, but I choose to believe. And I honestly also read into just body language of headed to the All-Star game. Like Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena both, and Josh Hader, all seemed like they were all smiles at and going to the All-Star game. I would think if there was something physical involved, Hunter might not have even made the trip if there was something physical involved.
I'm kind of glad, honestly, that the Astros have so much drama constantly and consistently about their injuries, because it makes things more interesting.
It is saucy.
You just never know. You never know what's going to happen.
It is saucy, yeah.
They are the equivalent of your buddy that's just kind of a wild card personality-wise. You never know what he's going to say.
They are the equivalent of the Bill O'Brien general manager era. where yeah. you're like, okay, I know this isn't great, but it is interesting.
Yeah, and you never know what might pop up right. On a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Kerryon Conley is a Houston Texan. Wow.
If there's one thing that human beings hate, it's tedium. Mm-hmm. We will do, most of the problems we create for ourselves in this life are because we're just bored and we want something to happen.
Yeah.
The Astros provide that. That's, the Astros provide a break in that tedium for me, so I don't end up going doing a bunch of stupid stuff in my personal life.
That's right. TJ Watt gets 3 years, $123 million, $108 million guaranteed. We're getting closer and closer to just all these things being fully guaranteed contracts.
This is a Nick Caserio-style contract. Honestly, I think Danielle Hunter's last couple of contracts with the Texans have probably factored into the A, team seeing that players are open to this, and then guys like TJ Watt maybe seeing Danielle Hunter's contract and thinking, man, that short term, but it's virtually all guaranteed. Yeah. I keep that carrot on a stick in front of me. And then you always do, with a long-term contract as a player, when you enter into it, if you're really using your brain, you know that if you play well over time, you're going to be underpaid.
Yeah.
And you hope that maybe you're not that guy that's going to be a distraction or belligerent about your contract or anything. But we know human nature takes its course.
Yep.
It's nice to get short-term deals with lots of guaranteed money where, hey, If I'm outplaying this contract and if salaries go up because the salary cap goes up, I got another chance in a couple of years to get a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, those old contracts that used to be, you know, if this were one of the old style deals for TJ Watt, it would have been 5 years, $180 million, but it still would have been only $108 million guaranteed. And yeah. So the team controls you for those last 2 years when there's no more guaranteed money. The only thing... One of two things can happen. You either play it out under that salary or they come to you for a pay cut if you're aging or not playing well. The only people that benefited from those funny money years at the end with no guaranteed money were the owners.
Yeah.
The players don't benefit from those.
And it opens up the door for so much drama and stuff that just becomes either a distraction, not just to the players, but to the front office and everybody else. It becomes media fodder. So I'm a big fan of contracts like this and Danielle Hunter's.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I am too, 100%. To me, the most interesting things that mattered probably to our audience when it comes to this TJ Watt contract, the biggest one is, okay, if Will Anderson Jr. makes the leap that we all hope he makes this year, and then we know he is working to make this year, if the increase in productivity is proportional to the amount of work being put in to improve, Will Anderson Jr. is going to make a big jump this year. This is the neighborhood he's going to live in when his contract extension rolls around, right? Like $41 million a year is what Will Anderson Jr. is going to be looking at.
I'm glad you used the neighborhood analogy because how it worked out literally with J.J. Watt was J.J. on his rookie contract was living in Pearland.
Yes.
And yes. By the time he left Houston, he was up in the Memorial area, one of those villages out there.
No disrespect to Pearland. Very nice community. Yes.
Right. Yeah. He's in a non-gated community in Pearland where he had at any given time various people coming up to his front door asking for autographs.
Yes.
Which is cool if it's somebody from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I got the sense that people were driving down from the Woodlands to drive up to JJ's house and ask for an autograph. Yeah.
By the end of that rookie deal, they were flying in to go to his house, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So Will Anderson Jr. and several others have got to be licking their...
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chops, the other thing I was thinking of too, Seth, I mean, how much money has Jerry Jones cost himself by dragging his feet on Micah Parsons' contract? I mean, Micah Parsons is the level of player that should have gotten an extension over a year ago. Like, should have gotten one after his third season, you know?
Yeah.
And so, defensive player of the year, all those things. And they continue to drag their feet. Meanwhile, Max Crosby resets the market for edge rushers at 35. You allowed Cleveland to step into this whole thing and really, really bludgeon you by giving Myles Garrett a massive raise over that, up to $40 million. And now here comes TJ Watt at $41 million. Micah Parsons is in, he's to use the word again, he's in that neighborhood. Like the price for Micah Parsons now is going to be over $41 million. And if you allow him to hit free agency, that's what he would get probably from somebody. It's one of the most important positions on the field. You've caught, like Jerry Jones, just by slow playing this, has cost himself at least $7 or $8 million a year on Micah Parsons.
He is so behind the times when it comes to keeping up with the way to operate an NFL team. I mean, the reason that that team is relevant largely is because Will McClay, their director of personnel, is so good at drafting. But when it comes to having foresight and trying to balance everything all together, they create this dynamic where the thing that is helping them is that Will McClay is really, really good at drafting good players.
Yeah.
But then Jerry Jones drags his feet on all the things that could keep a good, solid core together. And then they get stuck in these situations where they end up doling out at any given time, the highest contract for a quarterback, the highest contract for a wide receiver. And it's got to be infuriating for Dallas Cowboys fans. And I couldn't tell you how bad I feel for them. Jerry is doubling down now on talking about old stuff.
Yeah.
He will not shut up about how he's the guy who created those teams in the 90s. They're doing a Netflix documentary that airs in a couple of weeks about those teams from the 90s. And the height of irony is like, yeah, remember the thing that broke up that greatness was that you couldn't get along with a dude that knew what the hell he was doing
right. In
Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
And you had to start, and you had to take control yourself. And it's the problem that has plagued you ever since.
I think, too, this should, if we're using the Micah Parsons situation as some sort of example as to how not to do things, this is where you should feel good as a Texan fan that Nick Caserio, within a week after he's allowed to give Derek Stingley Jr. an extension,
yeah,
and I know at the time it was a big jump from J.C. Horn to Derek Stingley Jr., annual average value wise, you know, J.C. Horn was the high at cornerback at 25. Nick gave Derek Stingley Jr. $30 million. Well, guess what Sauce Gardner just got this week? $30.1 million. So Nick being in early on these, Nico Collins got an extension after 3 years. God, you hardly ever see that with a third round pick that's a non-quarterback. But now look at that deal. Holy cow, the highest paid receiver in the market's Ja'Marr Chase at $40 million. Nico's getting 24. And game-to-game productivity-wise, I know the injuries, but game-to-game, Nico Collins' stats are right there with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And I would bet dollars to donuts that come next spring, Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud will have extensions before training camp gets here.
This is what I find fascinating about this. And I saw a couple of people having a debate about this. A good debate. Both sides are making good points. But Texans cap may have been saying, hey, you know, Caserio gets in early and it ends up being a bargain within a year or two. Somebody else said, well, but he's kind of artificially setting that bar as high as it is. And then that creates a precedent where everybody is going to come after him. My response to that, and it's a good point, but my response to that is, well, who cares? It's a matter of how are you versus your peers. If you create that new market, but know that you're going to end up being a bargain based on what everybody else has to pay, you've still created a dynamic where you're paying your premier players less than other teams have to pay their premier players.
Yes.
And likewise with guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract. Man, really seems like it really threw a wrench in a bunch of other teams' plans because now he's set this precedent. Yeah. And Nick would say, well, that's too bad. That's a shame because you know who we've got under contract? Jaden Higgins.
Yeah. No.
And, you know, maybe, hey, if we have to wait on Ariante Ursary because of this or that, fine. But we got Jaden Higgins under contract and very few other second-rounders are under contract. And you guys are going to end up following my precedent to some degree.
We're going to end up talking to Nick sometime early in training camp, you and I. And it's one of the things I'm most looking forward to talking to him about. I don't think he's going to give a really like secretive answer on it. I think that it will be something along the lines of, look, we're the Houston Texans. You know, I'm doing what I think is best for the Houston Texans, and it's these deals, you know?
There is, I think, is people our age, you know, you, Nick, and I are all about the same age, give or take. And one thing that I think that Caserio and I think Belichick was really good at this in his career is adjusting your expectations about the way the business operates. And social media has just changed everything so much with contract negotiations, the internet in general. Because I think a lot of times when I grew up, when I was in the league, there's a certain element of, man, hey, on any given team, no matter who you are in the league, no matter how good you are, there's going to be a bunch of disgruntled players that hate the coach or whatever, no matter who he is. And yet, it didn't matter. Whereas now the capacity for drama has just been raised so much because because of all of because of social media and everything else. It is, there's a premium. You can pay a premium just to kind of avoid a lot of the drama.
The fans are way more knowledgeable about it. There's just so much more information available, and we're getting pelted with the every detail of every negotiation. You're absolutely right. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros' big series this weekend. A big signing, at least I would imagine a nostalgic one for one fan base in the NBA. A few other items that we'll get to in headlines. That is coming up next. Stay there.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.